Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hello, church. How are you? I'm so happy to be here with you today and bring the word. I'm excited. This is home. I feel at home. And I believe God is giving us a word today for you right where you are, at the comfort of your home, with your family. I'm excited to bring the word today. And it's been something that God has been really pressuring into my soul and into my heart. And it has to do with this great adventure we call our journey of faith. You know that God invites us to be part of the greatest adventure we could ever be part of. He invites humanity every single day. He invites us to be part of this journey that requires faith and nothing else, just faith in Him. And if I were to summarize this journey of faith, this greatest adventure that you and I could be a part of, I would summarize it in a phrase. And you're going to repeat this phrase after me, and then you're going to air five your neighbor. This is what you're going to say, okay? This is a summary of what this greatest adventure on earth that God has asked us to be part of. You ready? Repeat after me. 1, 2, 3. It makes no sense. Okay, now say it to your neighbor. It makes no sense. To someone else, it makes no sense. I mean, ponder on that. Like, what does it mean to come to our senses, right? It means like we need our human senses to make an understanding of life. Like we need to see, to believe, we need to touch, we need to smell, to taste, to hear. But you open scripture and bam, it makes no sense. It makes no sense that in 6 days God creates the world. It makes no sense that God calls this family that are pretty old to be, the father of multitudes. It makes no sense that Sarah, in scripture it says that her womb was as good as dead, gives birth to a child named Isaac. It makes no sense that the walls of Jericho come down by singing and shouting. It makes no sense that this guy comes and brings the staff and puts it in the sea and the sea parts in two. It makes no sense. Virgin birth? It makes no sense. It makes no sense that God, a loving and holy and good and righteous God, would take on flesh to forgive us our sin while we were still sinners. It just makes no sense, doesn't it? Scripture is filled with that. The greatest adventure that you and I can be a part of cannot make sense in human terms. It won't. And I could, I could choose so many examples in scripture to talk about this, the fact that this greatest adventure makes no sense. But one of them that is really dear to my heart is the story of Gideon. And there's three things about this adventure that makes no sense. And we're going to read it. It's a little bit lengthy. And there are some names that are kind of hard to pronounce. But here we go. We'll make it up as we go, yes? It says, we're going to start from the first verse, and then we're going to skip some verses and just go. It says, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel. And because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains, in the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no substance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in numbers. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so they laid waste the land as they came in. In verse 11, it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty men of valor. And Gideon said, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our father recounted us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and giving us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Dear God, your word is so wonderful. It makes no sense when we see it in human eyes, but when your spirit comes, Lord, into our hearts and reveals your heart to us, God. Things that make no sense in human terms have eternal principles and eternal blessings that we today want to grab a hold of. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So there's three things that make no sense in this great adventure, okay? This is the first one. His timing makes no sense. We see that the people of Israel were basically being starved to death. They were being taken advantage of, and it had been happening for a long time. And here is Gideon trying to get a little bit of resources for his family, you know, hiding and trying to stay alive because of the conditions of the land. And here is God. The angel of the Lord comes and appears to him and says, hey, you know, you mighty man, the Lord is with you. And this reaction from Gideon is the same reaction we often have. He's like, wait a second, because the angel says the Lord is with you. So Gideon is like, wait a second, the Lord is with us? Are you serious? Like right now, in the middle of my mess, right now, in the middle of poverty, right now, in the middle of uncertainty, in the middle of injustice, the Lord is with me. Isn't that what happens? Sometimes we're in the middle of the mess, in the middle of injustice, in the middle of chaos, and God is like, hey, I am with you. And you're like, wait a second, are you sure you're with me? And then it's incredible because I feel like the best platform for a miracle is a mess. The greatest platform for the miraculous is the impossible, isn't it? So it's the perfect setting for a miracle. Gideon was about to experience the perfect way of seeing God in a new dimension, but Gideon starts thinking about the past. He starts saying, hey, your timing is off. God was great yesterday, but he's not moving at all today. And sometimes, church, we're so fixated on the past. See, we may believe in God for the past, but it's hard to believe in God for the present. And that's what was happening to Gideon. He said, hey, yeah, you did all these great things in the past, but it is hard for me to see that you can still do something great today. And I remember when I first got married to my husband, we're going to turn 6 years next week of marriage. So some people, I think they meant well, they said, enjoy it, because when the kids come, it's just all good. You know, it's just not, no bueno. It goes just like really crazy. Just enjoy your time. And I knew that they meant well, but it was kind of like a downer because it's like, wait, you know, so when kids come, it's going to be a mess, you know? And some people think of the past as the best thing, you know, reminiscing on the past. Remember when God did this? Remember the great revival of 1965? Remember when God saved me in 1948? And God's like, that's great, but the same God that saved you is about to do something right now, and he wants to do it through you. I do not want to be 13 again. I don't want to go back and be single. You know, I love my life right now. The beautiful and the difficult. My daughter that at 3, you see, she's 3 years old. She comes at 3 a.m. all the time and sleeps horizontally between my husband and I. I love it when my son, he's 2 years old, at 5 a.m. sometimes he shouts, I pooped, you know. It's a mess. It's beautiful. But it's my reality and I love it. And God wants to do something right now. Yes, he did something in the past, but Gideon was so fixated on the past that he could not see. He was so hurt that he could not see that God was about to do something right now. you know, not only was the timing off because, you know, everything was messy, but the timing was off because Gideon was used to the mess. See, Gideon was used to the routine. He was used to hiding. He was used to, you know, getting, you know, food and coming back to his family. He was used to, you know, this routine he had created. He knew how everything worked. He was frustrated, but he was used to it. He was frustrated and mad at God, but he was used to his current reality. And sometimes that's how we are. We're so mad, we're so frustrated, but we're used to our reality. We're used to our 9-to-5. We're used to, you know, well, yeah, I guess this is my life. I guess these are the cards that have been laid on me. I guess this is going to be my life from now on. And God is there ready to disrupt his routine. God is ready to mess everything up because God, when God comes, he makes us feel uncomfortable. You know, there was nothing comfortable about Moses living, you know, being a shepherd and leaving that which he knew to go and save the people of Israel. There's nothing comfortable about leaving all of your family like Abraham did to come into a new land that he didn't even know where the land was. You know, sometimes discomfort is necessary to jumpstart us into seeing God worked in different ways. And here is God saying, here's God making him uncomfortable, making him so uncomfortable that he starts saying, hey, you got the wrong guy. Hey, that's great, but I don't think it's for me. Because not only is his timing that makes no sense, his call, who he calls, makes no sense. You know, when the angel of the Lord comes and tells Gideon, man, you know, mighty man of valor, it shakes him. Because that's not how he knew himself. He called himself by a different name, weakest of my clan, the most little of my land. He gave himself a different name, but then comes the angel of the Lord and speaks into reality something different than Gideon was not used to. You know what happens? When God calls us, he creates a different reality that would have never existed without him. See, Gideon was so used to his life. He was so used to his new normal that he forgot that God could do something with very little. And he goes, hey, mighty man of God. And he's like, well, you know, mistaken identity. It is not me. You probably got the wrong guy. It's probably my cousin from the other tribe right there, you know. And God's like, no, it's you. And Gideon is like, wait a second. Well, if it's really me, then this is going to happen. And then the rain and then the dry. And then let's do it again. And then the dry and then the rain. And it's like, how long did we have to go through this so that Gideon could understand that the call of God had nothing to do with his weakness? The call of God has nothing to do with what you lack. It's got nothing to do with how much money you have in your bank account. It's got nothing to do with how the dynamics of your home is right now. It has nothing to do with employment or unemployment, with virus or without the virus. It's got nothing to do with that. The calling of God has nothing to do with our weakness. And it's got everything to do with his heart. His heart for humanity. His heart for your home. His heart for you. So there is this guy struggling. But God is about to create a reality in Gideon that Gideon would have never experienced without him. That's what happens. When we say yes to the calling of God, we never know what we are saying yes to. Gideon never realized that his yes was going to open so many doors. He didn't realize that his yes was going to save so many people. People that were even beyond his family, but his community and his nation. He had no idea what God was going to do with his simple yes. See, you have no idea what God can do with your yes, even if it's a scared yes. You have no idea what God can do with your voice, even if it's a shaky voice. You have no idea what God can do with your situation, even if you're stumbling. But God can do the impossible when we say yes. We enter a new reality, church. A reality and a destiny that we would never have without him. So 23 years ago, my family came from Lima, Peru to Tacoma, Washington. Never would have thought or dreamed in my life that I was going to be here in the United States. 15 years ago, I said yes to working full-time here at the church as a youth pastor. Never would have thought that I was going to be a youth pastor. 6 years ago, I got married to the man beyond my dreams. I never thought I was going to get married. See, when we say yes, we say yes to a reality that would never exist without him. Never. See, not even in my wildest dream would I have planned this. Not even in my biggest dreams would I have made this happen. God wants us to know that the reason he calls us has nothing to do with our weaknesses. He just needs a yes from us. A yes right where we're at. A yes with our pain. A yes with our doubts. A yes with our sorrow. But a simple yes will do, guys. A simple yes activates a new reality. No wonder scripture says in Isaiah 55:9 that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, aren't they? So just like it made no sense, the call of this man, the secret, that's the third point, the secret to victory also made no sense. The secret to victory made no sense. It's incredible. He goes from an army of 32,000, and that's in Judges 7, to an army of 300 men. Tell me if that makes sense. To fight an army that looked like locusts, and they and their camels could not be counted against 300 people that I'm pretty sure did not know how to fight. Where does that make sense? You know, the victory, our victory, will not make sense. Our fight is not against flesh and bones. Blood is against principalities. And also, scripture tells us that it is by the Spirit that we win. It is the Spirit that empowers us to win. And it's crazy because for a long time, I thought that my abilities were going to get me where I wanted to. See, the calling of God had nothing to do with the weakness of Gideon. And the victory had nothing to do with his strength. It had to do with the strength of the Almighty God. The way he wins is different than the way we win. You know why? Because God wants to receive all the glory of the victory. He wants us at the end of the day to say, my intellect didn't get me here. My degrees didn't get me here. My money didn't get me here. My looks didn't get me here. My influence didn't get me here. Everything I have is because of the Lord. The victory and the way he gives us victory makes no sense. But the way we hear that strategy of heaven, we have to lean into the voice of the Spirit. You know, I remember one of the first words my dad told me when I said, oh, I'm going to be in ministry. He told me, okay, are you ready to suffer? And I was like, what? And then I was like, ouch, when suffering started, you know. I'm like, ouch, that hurt. And I remember one time something unfair happened, and I went to my dad, and I'm like, Dad, you're not going to believe what sister said the other day about me, and that's not true, and I need to go and confront her, and I need to tell her that what does she think she is? And my dad's like, all right. He said, okay, you go, you do that. But the minute you take onto yourself this challenge and this battle, you're telling the Lord that you don't need his help. So who do you want to fight? You want Christy to fight, or you want the Lord to fight? And I said, well, first of all, I do not want to confront that lady because she's, you know, stronger than me. And I think God's way would be better than my way. See, the way God does victory is completely different. I love scripture in Proverbs 3. This is what it says. It says in 5 all the way through 8, it says, trust in the Lord. Listen to this, church. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshing to your bones. Something happens when we lean into the Spirit and let God lead our battles. It refreshes our bones. It heals our inner being. Because we are trusting completely in the supernatural work of God. But God, I'm going to tell you, he's going to mess up your plans, church. He's going to get you uncomfortable. And there's going to be so much doubt like it was in the life of Gideon. Perhaps you're going to say, but I am too young. I'm only 12. Or I'm too old. I'm 30. I'm just kidding. You know, and like, I don't know. I have this difficulty. My legs don't, you know, they hurt. And my back issues, my finances, or, you know, people walked out on my life and I'm not counting on them anymore. You know, God takes all of that into equation when he calls you. He takes all of your struggles, all of your fear, all of your impossibility and your pain, your uncertainties. He takes it all. You say, well, I'm going to lead you to victory. I'm going to lead you to success. I will fight the battle. Just go in the strength you have. And we're going to be confronted to leave our comfort zone. And God is going to say, I know you're used to your routine. I know you're used to your, you know, your 9-to-5 or this new, you know, life because of the quarantine. So you have a choice, church. We can just accept our reality where nothing happens, where we're frustrated, where we are angry at God, where we are weak, you know, and where we can say yes, and that yes enters us into a new reality you would not experience without him. I'm telling you, it's the best reality you could ever be a part of. And do it scared. Do it with a shaky voice. Say yes. Yes, God. Bring discomfort to my routine life. Yes, God. Yes, God, your timing, although I feel it's off, it's perfect. This is the perfect platform for the miraculous. God, I want to fight this way, but you're telling me to fight like this, okay? You win, I'm going to do it your way this time and see how your life changes and how your eyes see things in different ways. Because although a lot of things make no sense in scripture because they're out of human understanding, oh, I'm telling you, the promises are real. The victory is real. Eternity is real. And one day you're going to see that it's going to be worth it. When you stand before Jesus and he crowns you and says, hey, come on, good and faithful servant. So right now you have that opportunity, church. You have the opportunity to say yes to an adventure that will bring you discomfort. Yes to an adventure that will make you lose control of your own life. An adventure and a life that you would never have without him. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for everyone that's listening and seeing, and you've never said yes to this new life. When you say yes to Jesus, a new reality is about to open up for you. A new life is about to open up for you. You will see things differently. So I want to pray for you. If that's you, repeat after me. Dear God, I am frustrated with my current reality. My own strength can only take me so far, and I am tired. And today I come to you knowing that I will enter a place of faith when I say yes. But I do, I say yes. I say yes to you, Jesus. I say yes to this new life. I accept your healing and your forgiveness. I accept the price you paid on the cross for me. And today my new life begins. In the name of Jesus. Now let me pray for every single person that right now God is calling into a different reality. Perhaps you're used to the reality right now. You're used to your routine. You are used to your 9-to-5, or you're used to what you know. But right now God is putting this burning desire inside of you. And you're like, no. I'm not comfortable anymore with my own reality. I want to say yes to a different reality. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my sister, for my brother right now, God, that perhaps have gotten used to a way of living. Perhaps they said, this is my life and I'm just going to do what I can. But right now you are awakening in their heart a desire for your reality, the reality of heaven, God, the reality that they can only experience when they say yes to you. And right now, Lord, in their condition, in their age, with their pains and their doubts and their uncertainties, as they say yes, God, you begin to open this new way of living. You begin to open this new life that looks a lot like faith, steps of faith, and leaning to the voice of the Spirit. And right now, Lord, we trust you for the outcome, and we trust you for the victory. We love you, Jesus. In the name, the almighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.